We're back now on this Agriculture Today, and our center stage topic during this first half hour, the 2018 Farm Bill, and what we might have learned from the 2014 Farm Bill that would go toward the shaping of that next round of legislation. Our guest once again is agricultural economist Michael Taylor of K-State Research and Extension. She, along with others, penned a couple of articles on the 14 Farm Bill, what we picked up from that experience as the 2018 Farm Bill is being put together. Michael, one of the kingpins of this would seem to be crop insurance, which you mentioned earlier, and the preservation of same as it ties into the commodity title in general, ARC and PLC in specific.
Absolutely. I mean, crop insurance has been a very hot topic. There's groups that are lobbying in D.C. for, you know, getting rid of the subsidy, capping the subsidy, so on and so forth. I will say that everything that I've heard from people across the state is just don't mess with crop insurance, you know, leave it alone. That is the risk protection program that is specific to their farm, which has more localized coverage than any of the Title I programs. You know, the closest you get is a county level protection under ARC, and that may or may not, you know, at the county level, what happens there may or may not reflect what is going on your farm. And so I think that the farm level coverage that we get through crop insurance is something that people really value, and that's why they don't want it to go away or to get altered too much. With regard to how we saw it affecting decisions under the previous farm bill, definitely if you could get some buy-up under SCO, then it made PLC look good. If you didn't need the buy-up, ARC looked good. And, you know, that's everything else being equal. So there was some differences there. But I think that if they make some cuts to crop insurance, I think it's going to push people into PLC if they can try to supplement that with the SCO from what they lost on the cuts on the crop insurance side. But it's going to be interesting to see. Art Barnaby and I did some work on that and on the cuts to crop insurance to see what would happen. And one of the things that we did find was that if you cut out the biggest farms, which are the ones that get cut from the caps on, you know, revenue-based cuts or cuts on how much, you know, subsidy you can receive, you get rid of the biggest farms, you change the underlying risk pool and you make it riskier. And when you do that, then it makes it more expensive for everybody that's left in the risk pool. So I think that there's a lot of reasons to be very cautious about what kind of cuts we make to crop insurance. Just because it's one of the biggest programs and there's money in it doesn't mean that every cut is going to have an equal impact.
And you've expressed this, but just to reiterate the basic understanding that crop insurance and ARC PLC are intertwined.
They are.
They are not separate entities or issues here.
No, I think if they make changes to crop insurance, there will be ramifications on the signups for ARC and PLC.
As you've looked at this question, are there any other likely influences from the 2014 Farm Bill or lessons learned, to put it that way, that would likely drift their way into the 18 Farm Bill discussion?
I think that there will be some discussion with regard to what were the economic conditions when we signed up for the 2014 Farm Bill and what are the economic conditions now that we're signing up under the 2018 Farm Bill. You know, I may have said this before, but when I went around the state and we would talk to people, there was a lot of comments made to the effect of, well, you know, this is just gravy, this is just extra money, and if we get it, it's great, and if we don't, we can live without it. That was when corn was high-priced and wheat was high-priced. The tune has changed, and that's no longer the case. We need those ARC and PLC payments to come through in order to be able to pay back loans and cover land rent payments. So I think that that's going to have some ramifications on what people sign up for and just how much effort they put into their farm bill decisions, which again is what's going to make extension really important, is they're going to be looking to us to help try to make those decisions and try to be as effective as possible on choosing the programs that are going to mitigate that risk going forward.
I want to bring up one specific that has ginned up quite a bit of controversy or at least discussion in the implementation of the 2014 Farm Bill, ARC and PLC, that discrepancies county to county with payments. That's been talked about quite some. Your thoughts on whether we've learned a lesson there and whether that issue could be addressed?
I think we have learned a lesson there. I think we learned that the 5-year Olympic average might not be enough of a baseline to set, because we had counties that came in with drought years in several of those 5 years that counted in the Olympic average. And so their baseline coverage was set very low as a result of those really low yields. And in order for them to get a payment under ARC, prices and yields had to go below drought conditions. And that's pretty tough to do. So we did. We had counties that didn't get paid, even though their economic conditions were not good. It's just that they weren't the worst that we had seen in, say, 30 years. So it was more like catastrophic coverage almost than it was, you know, a sort of a reasonable revenue coverage, like what I think it was intended to be. So if they were to extend that out to, say, a 10-year average, it would reflect better what the production and revenue conditions were for that county. And that's going to make ARC more effective. And hopefully we won't have quite such discrepancies between counties.
It won't be a complete remedy, but it'll at least ease the discrepancies.
I think it'll ease the discrepancies.
There are so many elements to the farm bill just in the commodity title that who knows where everything is going to go. But you, Art Barnaby, Robin Reed, others here at K-State are tracking what has happened with the current legislation and will likely be discussing what's to come in an outreach sense here soon, will you not?
We will. Art Barnaby and myself, and then Brad Lubin from the University of Nebraska, will be getting together to do a series of 5 meetings in Kansas and Nebraska to talk about the current state of the discussion on the farm bill, what we know about it, what we expect might happen. It's definitely a forward-looking conversation that we're going to have. So we don't have all the details, but talk about what we think might be going on and potential changes coming out of it. Mm-hmm. Those are set for the end of February and the first week of March. And we'll have a couple of them here in Kansas, one in Dodge City and one in Manhattan. And then when we'll be up in Nebraska the week after for 3 different locations.
And we'll be visiting more about the specifics of those 5 meetings coming up. We'd note once again, February 28th, Dodge City, March the 1st in Manhattan, then 3 in Nebraska, Meade, Nebraska, the 5th, Scotts Bluff, the 6th, and Hastings, March 7th. That will be detailed on agmanager.info as well as those meetings and their details come together. You also have put a synopsis of your write-ups on lessons learned from the 14 Farm Bill on Ag Manager for folks to review, right, Michael?
That is. It's underneath the farm policy section under Farm Bill. So if you want to read a couple pages on what we found as opposed to reading the full academic article, which I wouldn't blame you in the least if you chose that option, that synopsis is available. You're also always welcome to contact me if you have any questions or comments.
And to expand on that, you and colleagues are welcoming feedback from the countryside on just how this current farm bill has impacted individual producers and their pros and cons regarding that, right?
Right. I mean, we aren't the legislators. We aren't making the rules, but it is very important that we understand how the rules affected people, because we are the ones who are going to do the education on the next round of farm bill. And we want to know how things worked for people so that when we go through and try to explain this next one, which won't be dramatically different than the 2014 Farm Bill, there's going to be a lot of similarities. So we want to be able to understand how those things impacted people as we try to explain what their options are, especially if they were in, you know, say ARC and they want to switch to PLC or vice versa. We want to be able to help them anticipate what those kinds of changes will mean.
It won't be an entire makeover, but it'll be a tweaking, given the state of crop prices currently, will be vitally important nonetheless.
Yeah, I agree. I think even with minor changes to the 2018 Farm Bill, I think just the difference in the economic conditions between the 14 and the 18 signups are going to make the need for additional analysis and heavy input from Extension that much more vital.
So don't be afraid to share your thoughts on the current structure of the commodity title and what you'd like to see in the next round of the commodity title via the 2018 Farm Bill. Pass that along to the agricultural economist here at K-State. And good luck to you and your colleagues in studying what might be coming forth in regard to the next Farm Bill. Michael, we appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much.
She's Michael Taylor, an agricultural economist, K-State Research and Extension. Once more, they put together some thoughts on what was learned from the 2014 Farm Bill as potential fodder for input in the new Farm Bill and the deliberations and debate coming up soon here in Washington, D.C. You can see all of that on agmanager.info. Check it out, agmanager.info. And you are listening to Agriculture Today. We'll step aside now for a few moments, returning then with today's agricultural news headlines, this week's edition of Milk Lines, K-State's Mike Brooks standing by with that. And still ahead, another wildlife management subject with K-State's Charlie Lee aboard. All that yet to come here on the K-State Radio Network.